There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Well, big news day with not only the plane crash and details still emerging from that in D.C., but hearings on Capitol Hill for Tulsi Gabbard and Cash Patel this morning. We'll have more audio from that coming up in the next hour. T.J. Moe's going to be with us a little after 5 o'clock. Charles Lipson at 5:25. We have a Reardon roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be on the panel. State Rep. Steve Butts and State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. I've been wanting to talk a little bit more about birthright citizenship, and we have Bill King with us. Bill is a businessman, lawyer, former opinion columnist, and editorial board member at the Houston Chronicle. He's been on the show before, and I just discovered something that Bill and I and Elon and the president have in common. We all are addicted to Diet Coke. Is that what I understand? Bill King, how are you?
I'm having one as we speak, Mark.
So am I. I nurse a can when I'm in the studio every day, and I only do cans. I don't know about you. Like Trump and Elon, I think, do cans too.
No, I do. I do it over ice and glass is the way I like to do it.
Well, that's okay. Well, you wrote a piece about birthright citizenship. This got even discussed with some Q&A about the president today. And maybe I'll just let you kind of start here with some of the history, because this is certainly something that I think has, and the president's been trying to make this point, has been a little bit abused here in more recent history based on what the intentions were of the 14th Amendment bill.
Yeah, so this is it's a complicated issue, and unfortunately our political discourse today doesn't really recognize a lot of complexity or nuance. It's either, you know, black or white, left or right, and this is a pretty complicated issue. The 14th Amendment was adopted right after the Civil War, and it was specifically designed to overrule Supreme Court's ruling that African Americans could not be citizens, and it said that anybody that lived in the United States, or was born in the United States, was a United States citizen. There's this little strange qualifier on it that says, any person subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And that's obviously a pretty vague term. It appears at the time that what the drafters of the amendment were thinking about were Native American tribes, who at that time were sort of semi-autonomous state. They later became citizens by a separate act of Congress. And like foreign diplomats or those sorts of things that were living here. But the Supreme Court, you know, in the late 1890s, passed down a decision that basically said that if you were born in the United States, regardless of the circumstances, you were a citizen, and it had to do with the Chinese immigrant that was in the country. And so that's kind of been the rule ever since. And there's been a lot of discussion over the last 20 years or so. Is this really the right way to, you know, to designate citizens? Citizenship in the United States, and there's a lot of controversy over that. In the paper I wrote, I said, look, it seems to me that you could come up with a more rational way of doing it. And by the way, the United States is one of the relatively few countries in the world that does it this way. Most of them have much more complicated procedures. And so if we had a functioning Congress that could actually pass laws and do all that, then, you know, you'd probably come up with a more rational system of doing it Whether or not they're able to do that or not, who knows?
You said, you know, there's really two questions that we have to face. The first one is a legal one. Can a president or Congress overturn a doctrine recognized in the U.S. for over a century by executive order or legislation? My guess is no. All right. I believe there would have to be a constitutional amendment, but I guess we're going to find that out moving forward. But the second part is whether an extreme reliance on, you know, the doctrine that you referred to earlier is the best policy for the country. On the first question, do you agree or disagree that the legal one doesn't seem too difficult? I know they're challenging this. The executive order certainly anticipated a ruling. They got one from a Washington judge. It's hard for me to believe that the Supremes will weigh in on this and say, yeah, you can do this without a constitutional amendment or a convention.
I think Trump was starting a conversation. Yeah. I don't think he really expected this executive order to ever go into place. It's actually a fairly thoughtful executive order, though. It has some interesting things, like it only applies to children that are born 30 days after the order, which is one of the real issues if you try to go back and take it away ex post facto. I would be surprised if the Supreme Court would allow a president to change this. But on the other hand, Congress, I'm not so sure about that. You know, in that ARC decision in 1898, there was a very thoughtful dissent by Justice Fuller and Harlan, who's, you know, an icon of the Supreme Court. And they made a very compelling case that said that, you know, that's not what that phrase meant. So I don't know. I'm not sure the Supreme Court wouldn't say that Congress has the right to more broadly interpret that phrase. But I don't think the president does.
I don't know if we'd ever be in a situation where we could have, you know, 2/3 of the states voting on another constitutional amendment, maybe. But I do think that if you start polling people on this issue of birthright citizenship, they probably would argue that maybe the 14th Amendment is a little outdated. Certainly not the entire country, but I'm guessing, and there's going to be polling done on this, that a majority of U.S. citizens, especially based on what we've seen in the last 4 years, would probably favor a policy like this moving forward.
Oh, I think there's I would be surprised if it wasn't that way, Mark. But, you know, that doesn't really matter in today's politics because there's all sorts of things that a big majority of Americans are in favor of. A big majority of Americans are in favor of a rape and incest exception to abortion. You know, yeah. A big majority of Americans are in favor of multiple political parties. I mean, the problem is we've got two parties that have the political system by the throat, and we're really ruled by minorities, not by majorities anymore. If you were sitting down and say, I'm going to draft an immigration system for the United States today, this is not the rule you would come up with.
Right.
You know, and we kind of know that because almost no country in the world has no country in the world has this rule. So, you know, logically, you'd say, OK, you on one extreme, you've got somebody that's born in the United States and has American mother and father. Well, obviously, they're going to be a citizen. Then on the other extreme, you have somebody that's not born in the United States and doesn't have American parents. Obviously, they're not a citizen. But in between those two extremes, there's all variations of grays and combinations and permutations, and you need a system that decides which of these people are going to become citizens and on what terms. You know, my family's Irish, and so I actually went off and looked at what it would take for me to become an Irish citizen. And there's a way for me to do it, but you've got to go through a procedure. You've got to move over there. You've got to invest some money. You've got to pass a test. You've got to, you know, wait for a number of years. I mean, there's a way to do it. And so if you had a rational system in the United States, you would have those sorts of rules in place. But because we have a dysfunctional Congress that can't pass any kind of laws about immigration because it's such a political hot topic, that we've got this dysfunctional immigration system on a bunch of different levels, this being one of them.
We're just on a broader question here, Bill. You've been on the show before. You wrote a book called Unapologetically Moderate. Where does your philosophy, this is probably an entire segment outside of this, but your philosophy fit in with what's happening right now in Washington moving forward? Because obviously this is rather unique. I don't think a lot of us expected. I think some had hoped for control of all three branches, but this is something where, you know, a lot of work can be done with this administration, with Congress having control of the Republicans right now.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience?
Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative.
Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Well, I define moderate maybe a little differently than some people do. The way I define moderate is more in the term of moderation, that I don't subscribe to any political philosophy. You tell me what the problem is, and I'll tell you what makes sense to me logically by common sense. I'm not going to automatically take, you know, a left, right, Republican, Democrat, MAGA socialist perspective on things, because that's the tribe I belong to. You know, I want to think through every issue. And if you read the piece that I wrote on Birthright Citizenship, I think it's very difficult to ascribe that to a particular, philosophy or party.
And I think a lot of that, look, I think a lot of that is happening. There's no way you can make an argument that President Trump is really a conservative, right? There are things, and he talks about common sense all the time. One of the things that I like moving forward is, and you referenced this earlier, I don't know where some of these discussions take us, but I'm glad that we're going to have a discussion. Let's have a debate about some of these things.
Yeah, no, I thought, look, I'm not a Trump advocate. I'm not a Trump detractor. There's some things he does I like. There's some things he does I despise, like, you know, immediately blaming a plane crash on DEI and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't like that either. I talked about it. No, I get it. Yeah.
But he is a disruptor, and frankly, there's some things that need to be disrupted right now. And this is an issue that needs to be addressed. So I like the fact that he's starting the conversation. You know, how it's going to end up, I don't really know. And at the end of the day, I don't think he's got the ability to solve it. It's really going to take, at a minimum, Congress to act. And, you know, so far, Congress doesn't seem to have the ability to do anything right now. You know, everybody complains about every president we've had for the last 30 years has relied more and more and more on executive orders. And Congress complains about, you know, they're impinging on their authority. Well, if they get off their ass and do something, Mark, then maybe presidents wouldn't have to pass these executive orders.
Well stated, Bill King. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, you still live in Houston, right?
I do. I'm currently sailing in the South Pacific as we speak.
I heard about that. I didn't want to mention it. I wasn't sure. But you're like
technology.
You're in New Zealand, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But the Mark Reardon Show is that important that you had to jump on
New Zealand coast.
That's great. Well, the reason I bring up Houston is my son works at a great restaurant down there in the Heights area. It's called Squabble, Squable, and it's outstanding. So I want you to go in there and have
dinner.
I'll
go dinner. By and see.
You go by and see. You have dinner. You tell my son that I'll buy you dinner, Bill King, and I'll treat you to dinner. How does that sound? I'm serious. I'll do it for you. Go to Squabble.
And I'll order a Diet Coke.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Bill, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You take care. Have a great trip to New Zealand. I am so jealous.
Get more at 971talk.com.